702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
17 minutes after 9 o'clock, Suzanne Winter is my guest. And I think she might make some reference to the book by Professor John Gray, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And she joins me now on the line. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk to you.
So I read Dr. John Gray's book many, many years ago. And one of the things that I got from that book was the idea that we should be comfortable with the idea that men and women are different. Yeah, that sometimes we get caught up in the idea that men and women must be similar. Talk to me about that.
I think he had some wonderful points. I know that as a female, there were a couple of takeaways for me. It explained to women how to understand men, and this was the most read book by men in the 1990s in the United States. Every middle-aged guy who was married read it. Every young guy read it. Every older guy read it. So that's rare to have men really do that kind of work. So he talks about how men react differently and women react differently to certain emotional events. Oftentimes a man will pull away, and the first thing we want to do as a woman is go chasing after him.
Yeah.
Our instinct is get it back on track, stay close, stay connected. And he's trying to regroup, recover, sort his feelings out, and we go chasing him into his cave. Do you remember that analogy?
Yeah, I remember that very well. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we know that if, you know, there are two kinds of animals that get wounded and they go into a cave. One, when you reach your hand in, it will allow you to help them. And the other, which is probably a male, which will bite you. Not because they want to bite you, right? But you're just, you know, you're fiddling around and it's their space. They need to regroup. So I thought that was a great bit of information that he gave to us, because we just can't help ourselves.
Absolutely. So here's the question, Suzanne, with regards to romance. And really, this is on the back of the fact that we've now gone into February, which is known as the month of love. Everybody will be buying the flowers, the chocolates on the 14th of February for Valentine's Day. But I've noticed, at least with myself, that I tend to be a little queasy around showing affection and romance. It's something that I've had to learn. I've had to sort of practice and work. Why is it that it appears, and I'm saying that with great caution, that it appears that men seem to be a little awkward around openly and overtly showing affection and signs of affection and romance? Why is that?
Oh, dear man, you have all been socialized to not show your emotion. A tough guy doesn't cry. A tough guy doesn't have feelings. You're supposed to be able to get over her, get past it. You know, emotions are very inconvenient for men. You are the protectors. You are the ones who take care of the family. Imagine a hunter out to go kill the animal for the family who goes, oh, but it looks like Bambi. I wonder about the mommy, right? What about the other little ones? It would totally blow his entire mission. So I completely understand this. But, you know, I have to tell you, men are far more romantic than women.
I have to agree with that, because I feel the feelings.
Yeah.
I feel the feelings, right?
Yeah.
And I feel the gooey sweet, but I have a difficult time admitting to myself even sometimes that I'm feeling this and I need to express it. I feel very, very awkward. You saying to me that it comes from my primal memory as a man?
Well, that combined with what we've boxed you guys into being, you know, I think we're at a time period now in our evolution where we're starting to allow more latitude. Women can have more of a male traits, and men can allow some of the traditional female traits. We have male nurses. I know for me, growing up in my time period, it's like a nurse is a female, you know, so a lot of things are changing. Men are in nurturing fields that used to be the domain of women. I think we have simply been socially conditioned. That is my understanding. And you, like most men, were very clear on where you can express yourself, and other areas that it's not that they don't exist, they're just kind of dormant or they haven't been utilized very much. So it obviously feels uncomfortable.
There is a debate that continues, and I suppose it's an international debate, but it's certainly taking place here in our country, about the availability of those softer feelings for men, and that we as men are being sissified, as it were. I mean, there's that conversation taking place. And of course, there are those who argue back to say, no, this is when men are really beginning to come into their own. They're beginning to really understand themselves in a more complete sense. And the same is happening for women, as women begin to take up more, I suppose, traditionally male roles. What's going on in society? Is it true that we as men are becoming sissified, Suzanne?
Both are true, and this will blow your mind, but both are true. So the pendulum is swinging. I've got a 9-pound dog, and unfortunately, I have a weed control man outside. So she's got to protect the house.
Okay, go. Go, doggy.
She's female, but she's doing the male's job, right? Okay. So what's happening is we have what we call soy boys. And that's kind of it's a negative slang term for guys that are so effeminate that they've lost all sense of their macho, their masculinity, that they become overly sensitive and overly like, oh, I need a minute to process this. And I think you've offended my boundaries. And so they're speaking in this kind of weird psychobabble. And that is, I think it's all part of an adjustment. I think what happens is we've got people that were really steeped in ultra machismo to the point that they couldn't allow themselves to express any other emotion. They felt uncomfortable. Then we have the pendulum swinging to the other side. I think eventually it will even out.
I remember watching a movie, and I just forget the pretty lady's name in that movie, but Robert De Niro is an intern. I think it's called The Intern. Robert De Niro in this particular movie is an intern, right? And, Robert De Niro has that persona of being the tough guy, you know, the hyper machismo guy, the gangster. And I think that the makers of that movie were very clever in casting him in that role. And I forget the very pretty lady's name in that particular movie, but
I do too. And you know what's funny? She was more masculine than he was.
Precisely. And then there's
she had disowned her female side, and he was more sensitive and protective of her. And so the two of them learned to be better versions of themselves together.
Yeah. But then there's a scene in a bar. Something has happened, and the very sort of scenario that you've just been describing about guys finding themselves in this limbo of identity where they speak in these psychobabble sort of terms that you were explaining at the moment. And I find that many guys who are trying to be with it, who are woke, who are trying to understand the other side, who are find themselves in that space. And perhaps that's where the argument that men are becoming sissified emanates from, that there is this limbo of indecisiveness, of not knowing what to say, how to say certain things in a ever-changing sort of world. How do men find themselves in that specific situation as they genuinely try to understand the realities of gender issues in this era?
This is, you stated this beautifully, and it's a real issue. We've had a female consciousness raising, and we did that back in the United States starting in the 70s. So female empowerment has been around. We've broken through the glass ceiling, blah, blah, blah. We're, vice president here is a female. It's just, but men are in the transition of learning how to reorganize what they view as power. And it's going to be awkward. And each man has his own journey. We have a publication here that I used to write for called Good Men Project. And the whole story of this online magazine is, how do you become a good man? Your version of good man in today's world. Yeah. What is a good man? So each individual would have to identify for themselves and take the value systems that they believe are correct. And there's going to be a lot of transition and a lot of changes, and we'll probably have a better answer to this in 30 years.
Sure.
as to who men and women are.
Yeah. And I suppose that transitional reality, that limbo, that place of uncertainty shows itself out in how we express ourselves romantically as men, I suppose.
Well, yes, but you know, it's funny, when a man is deeply in love with a woman, he's automatically romantic. Haven't you just seen this? Like, over the top, they're calling her, they're sending her flowers, they want to buy her presents, they want to take care of her.
They want to write poetry.
Poetry, songs, you know, romantic muses. My goodness, I dealt with a woman the other day, and so this is a switch of the gender, but she's a songwriter, and she had not been creative in a number of years, and she fell madly in love with another woman and came up with 20 songs. I'm like, it's worth the breakup. Are you kidding? This is the basis of all great artwork and songs and literature. And yes, absolutely. So
I would imagine that in the very, very beginning of role identification, of gender role identification, men would still have been a little awkward in showing romance after the initial infatuation phase, right? I imagine that initial infatuation phase is so powerful that you forget about all of those socialization issues. You forget about all of those, I'm the hunter, I'm the protector story. You forget completely about all of that. First question is, so are we putting on the awkwardness? Is it just put on, or is it something that's real? Is it real?
Well, now, from working with men, unlike other relationship experts and dating coaches, love coaches, I don't just work with one group. I work with men and women, straight and gay. And I can tell you straight across the board, I've worked with over 5,000 clients. I have about 450 individual clients a year. So I can tell you that what happens is men's greatest fear is that they will look weak and needy.
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell?
Yep.
All?
Yep.
So in the pursuit phase that you were talking about, there's no editing and no filter. The hormones, the testosterone, it's like, I see the goal, I'm chasing it. He's not filtering much when he's in chase. But then once he gets there and he starts to catch up with, okay, I'm really here, I'm in front of the object of my desire, then the weirdness starts happening, like, oh, maybe I'm giving too much. Maybe I'm giving too little. Maybe I look too needy. Did I call her too many times today? Oh, you know, I don't want to look weak.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like a chump. I don't want to. So they worry now that they went too far in one direction. So this is the strange, it's like a bad shifting gears. Like, I remember trying to learn how to drive a stick shift. Oh my God. I put a big sign on the back of the car saying learning stick and blonde, watch out. So because I was lurching back and forth, and that's what men do,
yeah,
in pursuit and then self-editing.
And would that be true for women too, under which circumstances?
Yes. Women tend to do that right off the bat, be self-editing. And I think I'm speaking more now about younger, well, no, it actually goes all ages. So the woman wants to show that she's available and interested, and yet she has received the sociological message that if she appears too interested and too easy to capture, that the man will devalue her. So women go through the self-editing process as well and may end up giving the guys mixed messages, because one minute she looks attainable and the next minute she's not attainable.
Yeah.
So How does one proceed? Right.
Tell me if you are aware of any of the things that Suzanne Winter and I are talking about on 011-883-0702-021-446-0567, whether or not you've been able to overcome some of the awkwardness and the reasons for the awkwardness that we are talking about. How did you do it? Did you go for a class? Did you give me a call? I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. If you're in Cape Town, the number is 021-446-0567. Internationally recognized relationship expert is Suzanne Winters, and she's my guest. We're talking about the month of love, specifically for men, but I'd love to hear from women. Have you been awkward in the showing of feelings of romance, of the vulnerability of love? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Bennett is in Sandton. Good evening to you, Bennett. Your thoughts?
Hi, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, sir. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with a lot of what you guys have been saying. I think that, you know, I like to think I'm a traditional kind of guy. I want to provide for a woman.
Yeah.
But I would also like to be weak for a strong woman. And what you tend to find is and the woman that I'm with is extremely strong. She will not, you know, mince her words about anything. But at the same
that
time...
That is so sexy, though, eh?
You know, I had to...
Hey, Bennett, I mean, that is pretty sexy stuff.
Strong.
Yeah.
She called me out on all of my BS.
Yeah.
But when it came time for us to hook up, you know, I had to say to her that, no, listen, I really like you and I want this. And it was quite vulnerable for me. But then the way she responded was really amazing. And she said, okay, fine. This is what I want. You must be a man like this. You must be a man like this. And I'm actually okay with it.
But don't you find that you've lost some of the spontaneity and all of that, some of that organic spontaneity? Doesn't that feel a little strange?
This is why I'm glad that we're talking on a late night show, because yeah. On the other side of it, you know, her strength is also on a very sexual side. So I'm trying to temper my words. If I'm soft to her, she then responds in a very strong way, in the way that I like, if you understand what I'm saying.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Suzanne, help us out here. You got to help us out here, Suzanne.
You know, he sounds like he's doing fine. He's got the dialogue fine, and he's fine in the bedroom, so I think it's all good. You know, what I love, and I wish that more women could believe this. I keep saying to women in the United States, you know, if he crosses your boundaries, if he does something hurtful, something cruel, if something's not right, you've got to call him out. You've got to at least say, this happened and this hurt me. And here's how I would have liked it to have happened, because I keep telling women that they go mute. They keep thinking they want to be agreeable. They're so terrified that the guy will dump them or get rid of them if they are difficult.
Yeah.
I don't dare be difficult. And yet, I keep saying, no. The women that stand up get married, right?
Yeah.
So,
Bennett?
At the same time, though, you know, she does let me be the man in certain situations. Right. There are times when I say to her that, listen, babe, you are a bit overbearing and it made me feel like less of a man. And all of a sudden she switches from being this very strong person to like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to undermine you, which is why, like I say, wow. I'm very lucky in the whole thing. But you need to let her be strong and take the lead. And, you know, I think if you can swap places, that's the most important thing. I was in a relationship before where the lady was too submissive for me personally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've enjoyed having a stronger person, especially now that we can then swap the sides, you know. And there are times when I try and be too strong, and she'll say, hey, listen, buddy, back off.
But are you finding that you're very comfortable with showing affection, saying to her, I love you? It doesn't happen with a little bit of effort? Does it happen? Is it easy for you to be romantic, Bennett?
But that's what Suzanne was saying. Yeah. I am the romantic. I want to send the flowers. I want to do the big gestures.
Right.
All right, so that you know this is how I feel about you. And what I then felt with other women is like, do the big gestures. And then when you then also want to feel like a man, then you are then rejected. And you're like, okay, I'm doing the big gestures. And then when I then want to be strong, they want to dominate too much. But dominance is not a big problem.
Yeah.
As long as it's balanced.
Bennett, I hear you. Thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Some remarks from you, Suzanne?
Well, it's brilliant. You know, look at the two found their way together. And it just shows you that each relationship that you have, if you're conscious, you're learning from it and readjusting. He became clearly aware that a submissive woman all the time is boring and that he doesn't enjoy that. He likes being challenged, but he also likes the ability to be gentle and sweet. And I think that's a beautiful combination.
Mariah is in Kailami. Hi, Mariah.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Really nice to be able to chat to you. I've got, it's interesting just hearing this last speaker. Of course, I'm a woman and I've got now a different perspective, which is where women are strong, and you know, with my first partner, it's I wanted to show that I was, you know, a strong feminist, and that I didn't, you know, want him to feel that he has to be strong and take the lead or what have you. So you do that on his behalf, and also then what does happen is that the guy gets comfortable and kind of like is okay with not doing too much. And you pick up the cudgels and you carry on until you get to a point and you go, actually, it's like this is not what I bargained for. You know, not that I want somebody to take over, but I want somebody to be equally on a par with me, equally strong, and not just leave me to bear the burden, which is what happened.
Yeah.
And I think happens in a lot of the time, especially in this day and age, where women are expected to be strong and to also take the lead, and they do, but often to their own detriment. In other words, there isn't a balance.
I hear you.
There isn't a balance.
Well, Mariah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Suzanne, do you sometimes get the impression that we fall into the trap in our relationships, that we fall into a trap of making, of wanting to make political statements all of the time instead of getting on with having a relationship? In other words, if the woman is strong, right? And I know that we're very, very heteronormative at the moment in our conversation, but bear with me. If the woman is strong, then maybe that is the ideal message that she's putting out there. And if the man is strong, then that's what it almost feels to me like we get caught up in the politics of it all instead of just having relationships and just organically responding and being rather than wanting to be the strong or the weak or the not so strong or the not so weak. I get a feeling sometimes that we just get caught up in that. And sometimes maybe we should just unclench a little bit and just, you know, let things happen.
I love that word, unclench. It's so visual for me. Well, you're right. I think what happens is, to go back to the first caller, to Bennett, you know, we are looking for balance. When I heard this lady speak, I got the overwhelming feeling. My interpretation of that is, as a strong woman myself that has my own, I have my own money, I have my own home. None of this came from a man, nor is it dependent upon a man. But when I think it's important that even though we have all these strengths, we don't want to have the guy go, okay, it's fully your job. I think that what's nice is that you know the guy's got it, you can trust him, and if something happens, you can lean back.
Yeah.
You can just like, okay, I know he's got it. Not my skill set. We're in an area. My baby's got it. And it's so reassuring because nowadays, you know, our need for men has changed throughout the years. At one point in the century of history, I mean, if you didn't have a man, you didn't have a life. Yeah. You didn't have, you know, I have to tell you, I remember watching the evening news with Walter Cronkite the first day in history
yeah.
that a woman was issued a credit card in her own, not her husband's name.
Wow.
And I remembered watching and freeze framing it and saying, this is important. I had no idea why, but I put it in my mental file and I still remember to this day, it made national news. So we've come a long way and yet women don't, you know, we've had to be a man at work. We've had to do things we never had to do before. And once in a while, we want to lean back and be a female. And if that balance isn't there, it makes it an ongoing job, as the lady said.
I imagine, though, Susan, that for you, as a woman who's got her own, you are independent, you're a strong woman, how the male figure in your life, and I'm trying to, at this point, extricate the conversation from the biology, right? How do you want to feel feminine in that context? What are you looking for? Are you looking for the guy to grab your hair and pull you? What are you looking for? What is it that is going to make you feel
That I can lean back?
Yeah.
That I have one. I have a man that I can admire. I must admire you. I must be able to respect you.
Yeah.
And in doing so, the secondary part of that is, and if we're confused and I don't know what to do, I will follow because I trust your judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that if we get into a situation and there's absolute chaos, I will defer to you because I trust you.
Yeah.
But if it's my category, then you better defer to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So each person carves out their own categories for what they do well. I'm not an auto mechanic. I'm not going to guess what's happening with the car. I don't want to know. You want to tell me, I trust you, not my skill set. You want to know what's going on in the psychology or the communication of the relationship. I think I'm the one you should talk to.
Yeah, I have a very strong wife. My wife is very, very strong. And she's strong in the departments of our relationship that would traditionally be understood to be male. I don't know how to deal with finances. I don't know how to deal with money. She's brilliant at that. So I don't even know how that works, right? So she handles the money in the family. And I find that to be very strange amongst some of my friends and maybe family members that you don't work with the money. Are you crazy? Secondly, I'm not a very technical guy. She's far more technical than I am. I got to think about putting in the bulb, you know, the light bulb. I've got to really think hard about it.
Yeah.
She's very comfortable in that kind of space. And I sometimes feel like I'm not being the man as I should be in that space. But I see how comfortable she seems to be in that space. And so I chill out. I relax. Should I be feeling guilty about that?
No. If you take a look at it in the context of business, let's say you own a company and you have a co-partner. Your co-partner is brilliant at doing Excel spreadsheets and detailed stuff and the finances. And they love it. And you don't want to deal with it. That's why you have them as your partner.
Mm.
They balance you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're thinking male, female, we're way past clubbing a beast and taking her and dragging her into the cave.
Man.
Now we're talking more about a romantic unit or a family unit being a small independent business. So the two founders and the partners must work in harmony to create the best product possible. And they will divide the skill sets according to interest and capability. It would be foolish to do it any other way. And by the way, in the United States, most women run the finances, unless their husband
and
is
some venture capitalist. I'm saying that in the United States, most men cook, right? Now that's an issue right down here. I mean, I love to watch on television the cooking networks and the guys are really comfortable like talking about, you know, I'm going to cook, I'm going to do this, I want a bigger kitchen because I'm thinking, wow, you can't say that here.
but remember, the world's top chefs are male.
Absolutely.
Most of them are male. So it's funny, but I think in part it's an aversion for many women. You have to realize that was our job. We didn't have a choice about it. You had to cook and fix things for the family. Imagine it was never a chore or a duty that you had to do. So for you, it's creative.
Yeah.
It's exploration and adventure and creativity, and it's fun, right?
Yeah. Well, let me take one more call from Dike Lady in Bramley. Hi, Dike Lady.
Hi, Bro Aubrey.
Yeah, how you doing?
And yo, Bro Aubrey, I'm just so confused with the matters of love and relationship when it comes to men. I am telling you, I'm just like, I really need to understand what men want and what men think. Because for starters, I, you know, recently met this guy and he actually chased me and he's been seeing me. And the next thing I know, he's telling me, oh, you know, I've been following you and da, 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 and we meet. And all goes well. But then I found out this guy is still trying to figure himself out, like financially and everything. He's had things and he's lost things. So I'm like, dude, it has nothing to do with me. Yeah. The fact that I have things, you don't have things, shouldn't be part of this whole relationship.
Yeah.
I need to be part of the relationship without looking at the what I have, what you don't have, as if it's a competition, right?
Yeah.
So it's all smooth. But then suddenly there's like when I say something, he says no. But if I say, but no, what about what? So for instance, I said to him, can I see you? And he says, no, not today. And I said, but no, I wanted to see you today. He says, no, Thursday. I just said Thursday. So I go back to say, dude, your tone is a bit like somebody who is just throwing dust and without thinking, considering my feelings. Yeah. And it's like you bossy, you controlling, you abusive. So he starts like with the language that really scary. Yeah. And it makes me kind of wonder, like, what do men want? Because when you become a submissive woman, then they get frustrated with that when you become, you know, try to find a balance. Yeah, at some point, you stand up for yourself. You say, no, no, dude, you're crossing the boundaries. At some point, you allow them to be because then you want to give the men the power.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't work. So I'm just confused. What do men want? Yeah. What do they want? A woman who has nothing where they have everything and a woman just runs after them. Yeah. So, I'm just...
And Kennedy, that's why we're having this conversation. It's a conversation to try and perhaps allow us the permission to be a little confused. Yeah. And secondly, to understand that we are all at different levels of understanding the sophistication of relationships. So maybe the guy that you're with still understands himself only in terms, or his identity is very much connected to the possessions he has. So if he doesn't have much possession, he feels a little weak. But I want to hear what Susan has to say. Susan, your thoughts?
Can I say one thing quickly about...
Sure, yeah.
Before Susan says something. So, I mean, how do I switch on from loving and not loving? It's impossible for me because once I say to somebody, I'm committed and I love you, and, you know, trying to do my best, and today you love me, tomorrow you don't love me, I feel like it's a bit abusive.
I hear you.
But I can't switch out of love immediately because you are in your own world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to have that kind of choice to switch from loving and not loving. I think you should be in a loving state all the time. Of course, the modalities of that become the issue. But I really want to hear what Susan has to say. Susan?
Thanks, Doc.
It sounds like this man is intimidated by you and that you have far more chips on the board than he does. And in his world, he has to minimize you and take the power from you where he can get it, which is to irritate you, frustrate you, undermine you, and devalue you. Does that feel correct?
Dike Lady?
It does, because then, you know, I mean, it also hurts because suddenly I feel like I'm forced to stop loving this guy, right? And I was not forced into loving him. Now I love him.
Yeah,
now
you're not a tap, man. You know, you can't switch on and switch off.
That's the thing. Yeah. Now he's making me feel like, in actual fact, it's my fault that he's where he is. But we just met. Dude, I don't know you from above, so except the fact that we just met him.
Honey,
is in love.
If you just met him and you're telling me you're in love with him, then you got to check yourself. Because really, that doesn't work like that. You may want him, but that's not love. It could be infatuation, but you need to scale up. You're a strong woman. You're a good woman. You know what you want. Why are you with somebody that's so confused? You can't make them clear just because you're clear. He's unclear and feels inadequate next to you. I promise you, he will continue to punish you in the way that you feel uncomfortable and sad right now.
And you may be teaching him, Dike Lady, by the concessions that you make, you may be teaching him that it's okay to abuse you.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's not like I met him now, but we've been we've been seeing each other for like maybe 6 months. So I'm just now in the relationship. That's when I'm feeling like, goodness me,
okay.
What is this?
All right, I thought it was very new.
It's not like yesterday's thing. So, you know, we've been so happy and suddenly he's bothered by I don't know what to do. Like, I must now give up everything for him to be comfortable, but I can't because that's not who I was.
Absolutely.
And I was an independent woman when he found me, and I was very clear, dude, what you have, it's yours. What I have, I don't want marriage. I was even happy to be having a friend with benefits, you know, but he was just like, no, I can't do the friends with benefits. Mm. You know, let's work it out. And I worked it out up until I fell for him. You know, I took my time to fall for him because I didn't want to find myself in a situation where I feel like I'm overpowering somebody. But I feel like I'm starting to feel like I'm in an abusive space and I don't even know how to get out of it.
It definitely does sound abusive.
Hurts, you know, it's not so easy to get away when you've fallen in love.
I have a saying, and I think it's worth trying to hear it. I won't be less just because you can't be more.
Hmm. Does it make sense to you, Dike Lady?
When you have the wrong partner, even though you love them, you always feel like you're making excuses for who you are. And they want you to be less, and they want you to feel like less because they are not more. And that's not my job.
Sure.
My job is to do the best me.
Thank you. That's not my job, hey?
It's not your job, Dike Lady.
Not your job.
Thank you so much.
And it sounds like Dike Lady has been gaslit in a very profound way, Susan.
He's punishing her for her. Yeah, see, it's a covert move. Just think about it. Happy, well-adjusted people don't make other people feel horrible.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Unhappy, maladjusted people who are insecure are the ones that try to create others' insecurities. So that's what's happening here. He got her hooked and now he's trying to tear her down for his own comfort. Him tearing her down does not make him stronger or better. That's the funny thing. If any of it worked, okay, don't like the means, but I see the end is plausible, but none of it works.
Yeah. Tell me, we started this conversation talking about romance and the ability to...
Long way from romance.
Yeah, and the ability to show romance, particularly as it pertains to men. But I think we've actually really cut to the chase here. And really, it sounds to me as though all of this is about being conscious. It's all about being aware and mindful of who you are. And going for it, as it were, yeah?
Yes. And remember, life is constantly giving us new information. So it is wise of us to be able to take in new information, try it on, adjust, throw it out, absorb it. We don't want to stay rigid. We want to continue to grow and evolve. And sometimes, as you so beautifully stated in the beginning of the show, we have to give ourselves permission to be in transition. And sometimes that love is messy and it's confusing on both sides. But knowing your own truth, being able to clearly state that to another person, that's a big part of getting it sorted.
And
I think that if people can know their truth and identify it and then say that, they're going to really give their partner valuable information.
That seems to be the core of all confusion. The ability to get to know your own truth and being comfortable in your own skin in that way, right? How do we get there? How do we get there, Susan? How do we what's the formula for getting to a place where I understand who I am and I don't make concessions that fight with that knowledge? How do I get there?
Yeah. I can only tell you the way I did it. I stopped listening to everybody else. I call it the last card in the deck. I'd listen to this one. I'd listen to that one. I read this philosophy. I read that philosophy. And I finally thought, what would I say? What would I think if I had no input whatsoever? How would I handle this?
Yeah.
And I got really novel and creative solutions. But I think to be honest with yourself, and in an original life will not look like your neighbors. Some aspects are going to be different. So cookie cutter routine is not different. That's just protocol. And I think we learn through trial and error, which is lovely for humans.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not making mistakes, because you can't make a mistake if you've never done this thing before. And I think we're all doing the best we can, right? So we go through a relationship, we have some self-reflection. I think it's good to say not only what did they do wrong, but then sit down with yourself and journal and say, okay, where could I have been better? Oh man, I got really reactive with that guy. I blamed him all the time. Yes, he was to blame. How could I do this differently? What other options did I have? What would I like to develop in myself? And then in your next relationship, you bring that goal forward. Like, this time I want to be really fair and balanced. I want to make sure we get to conflict resolution. I'm going to have great communication skills. And I think that's how you learn how to be a better partner and learn more about yourself.
It sounds to me, Susan, that it all hinges, or the foundation of all this is accepting the idea that you have a right to be here.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
on a very deep level, that's true.
It just feels to me that all of the discoveries that I've made about this subject, about how I show up, how I express myself romantically, financially, is that I've got to first get to a place where I agree with myself that I have a right to be here. So me, with my own proclivities, with my own issues, I have a right to be here.
It's beautiful. I say that too. Self-love for me is that I'm in agreement with myself, in basic agreement with myself. That's about as far as I am right now.
Yeah.
The second part is it's a lot more specific, and I congratulate you on that. That's the deserving part.
Yeah.
And I can really learn from that one. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Susan Winter, I've thoroughly loved talking to you. I hope we can do it again. I know that my listeners have thoroughly loved this conversation. How do people get in touch with you, follow you? How do we do that?
Thank you. Go to YouTube, subscribe to my channel, Susan Winter. Just type in Susan Winter. As a matter of fact, if you go to your search bar and do Susan Winter, I'll probably be the first one that comes up. And my website, susanwinter.net. Love to see you. Love to talk to you guys.
Much appreciated.
Tell me you came from here.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Same for you, Susan Winter, internationally recognized relationship expert. It's